Your classic glycolics are great because smaller molecules, they penetrate faster, deeper. The stimulation of the collagen production helps to improve elasticity, and it does target the lines as well.
Welcome to Beauty Babble. So we have been doing a series on chemical peels and common skin conditions. Today's our final, and we're talking about mature skin. We left the best for last.
Common one, but why is that?
Right. Yes. Well, we can just kick off by just at least first defining mature skin, right? Like everybody has a
Mature
different
skin.
idea of what that is.
Right? Exactly. I have 20-year-olds say that they have mature skins. 20-year-olds that say they don't have mature skin.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's not an age thing. It's
That's
really what
right.
you see in front of you, right? I think that's a huge part because we're all aging. The moment we're born, we age. That whole cell renewal, you know? But yeah, I think we can let's classify when we look at our things that we can look and as guidance to help us to remember those things. What was that scale called? The Google?
Glogo.
Glogo.
We might be butchering it. I'll put it in the comment, in the description, but it is a classification of photoaging. And so what you see is what you're going by, right? Like you're looking at the visible indications on the skin.
Yes. And there are, well, we might as well talk about them. There are four
Four.
basically on that scale, right? So the first one is mild and
So the
typical.
first one is type one, and it's called no wrinkles.
Right. Typically an age, typically 28 to 35, but it can vary, right? It depends on, it's just a guideline, if you wish. So they say ages, but if you're kind of wondering about more of what you, like you said, the visual side of things, you know, mild, very little in any pigmentation changes, would you say?
Yeah, so this one would be like, yeah, like you said, mild pigmentation. There's no age spots, no
No
wrinkles, no
wrinkles.
visible wrinkles when your face is not moving. This is what we would look at and not think mature skin.
Yes,
Basically,
exactly.
this is where we all want to stay.
Yes.
But we move on to the second type would be type two, and this one is called wrinkles in motion. This is according to this scale of classification,
Google.
but I mean, it doesn't matter what you name it, it's what it looks like. So for this one, it's like any 30s and 40s, but that's 20 years. Like, so it's not really about the age as much as it is about what you're seeing. With this one, you're looking at changes in skin texture, like early changes in skin texture, those like expression lines, right? Like where you smile and you get your little.
Wrinkles in motion. Yes, when it's moving. And you probably have, you start to see the pigmentation, right? The hyperpigmentation, some spots. So I guess you could say like typically the smile lines, the
Around the mouth.
eyes, the eyebrow kind of thing, right? Yeah, the third one.
And I think before we get to that one, I think this is the one where when it comes to these type like chemical peels and clients, this is where I've seen the most of client range, right? This is where
Right,
they're like, oh
that's
my
fair.
gosh, we need to start doing something about this.
Yes, true, true. Yeah.
And then type three, which would be wrinkles at rest. And this is if we want to put an age to it, we're going 50 and over. But this is where you can see visible wrinkles without movement in the face, right? So we're beyond those expression lines.
You can see the obvious pigmentation. It's not like you're really looking close, like you can actually see those areas, probably texture-wise as
Texture.
well, change. Yeah. So
And the last one is type four, and this is, I love the name of this one, only wrinkles. Like only wrinkles is
maybe
nowhere I want to be.
I wouldn't tell my clients this. Oh,
No.
you're wrinkled at rest, gal. Oh, you're only wrinkles.
Right? And
Wrinkles in motion.
60s or 70s. I feel like I'm looking at a picture on this website about this, and I feel like I know women in their 60s that this they don't have these wrinkles. So I'm going to go older. This is older, but basically this is, oh, right. It depends on lifestyle, right?
Yeah. And there's some, you know, when you look, they're like only in their 30s and they look like they're more like in their late 40s. It's lifestyle. What do they eat, drink, sun exposure, stresses of life.
Yeah.
You know, autoimmune medications, like you keep naming it. And so this is a guideline so that, you know, you have something to look at.
And this one for me, like, it's just also deeper wrinkles. It's not just about, like, they're just more pronounced. They're a lot deeper. When you get into this phase of skin aging, it's like treating with a lot more caution because those wrinkles are deeper, that it just, it creates a lot more challenge, and you cannot kind of have that consistency in how much you're actually applying onto the skin because there's that pooling and whatnot. So definitely a pause before considering clients in this phase.
Very true.
Because too, like, are you able to help them reach their goals with the level, with as deep as we can go in terms of our scope of practice? Probably not.
Right. And the other thing too is, I don't know, I always look at it, it's not just one treatment is the plan.
Mm-hmm,
exactly. We have so much at our hands nowadays that we can incorporate to change, but we're only talking chemical peels, so we'll stick to that. But I'm just saying, it's not just the chemical peel, it's what other things can you do with it. Chemical peels, I always look at as like that, like a hard kickstart almost, right? But yeah, so I mean, your classic glycolics are great because, you know, smaller molecules, they penetrate faster, deeper. The stimulation of the collagen production, you know, helps to improve elasticity. And it does target the lines as well, right? So overall, even tone, those types of things. I mean, I think everyone who does facials and has their base of chemical peels, to go back to your knowledge and just remember, why would you choose glycolic? You know, why are you going to choose a lactic?
Mm-hmm. You know,
so lactics are still hydrating. They're larger molecules. It'd be a slower process. Like, it's again, the why behind what you're doing instead of just everybody's going to get, I don't know, TCA. Everyone's going to get a glycolic from me. You know, if you're doing chemical peels, you should have a range of chemical peels, not become chemists and start blending things. But I'm just saying, then you can offer one treatment, could be a glycolic. And then in the next one, whenever you plan that out, could be the lactic. Like, there's a variation to it. And I should say on that note, doesn't mean you have to have all of the types of chemicals. But if you do, utilize them on the knowledge that you were taught how to use them. And based on what you see in front of you of the skin, right?
Yeah. I think another really important consideration for treating mature skin is not just like identifying their, where they are in terms of their level of mature skin, but understanding how did you get to where you are? Because how do we get the skin that we do? You know, is it, there's like that sun damage. That's a big skin ager. There's stresses and skin, like conditions, like medical conditions that can, so there's so many factors at play. And all of these talk about, I'm mostly going to harp on the photo damage. Like, this is really talking about somebody's lifestyle and how they are going to care for their skin. It could be in my 20s, I was very loosey goosey with my sunscreen, but now I'm very committed and that's different, right? So really understanding, like, how did we get here in terms of like, what have you been doing? Why do you want, where do you want to go? And why are you, like, why are we even considering this? Is being a big part of it.
Yeah, I love that. It's totally, you have to get your clients involved in this. Mm-hmm. They have to make the commitment, not just a general facial. I mean, even with facials, I still want them to commit to something, but this is definitely on another level. And I think that honest conversation with your clients, they're not going to want to hear what you have to say sometimes, but I think it's essential for your rapport with your client on that professional level to be honest with them in a, you know, have empathy to them too, but being honest, like, have I said no? Yeah, I have said no to people, but I don't just say no, you don't qualify. You know, it's like, okay, I want to talk to you about this. And maybe it's just timing, right? I think I've said this before. I think right now, I just really want you to consider, well, why do you want to do this? What are your expectations? And what are you willing to do at home? Because this is not just about this treatment right now I'm doing with you. But that would have been in the consultation anyway, so you would have known if they're going to follow through. But, you know, I think...
Sorry to interrupt you. On that note, like, I think if you don't think it's a good idea as the professional, I would not do it at all.
Yep.
Right? Yeah. Like, not, you know, even if you say, if I like have this, like, you're going to know your client a little bit, hopefully that's not their first visit. And you, we say this every episode, you know them enough to know, like, if you're sensing like you're not comfortable with this, I would not do it. And of course, yes, diplomacy, don't say no, offer a different treatment. But I want to, like, side note, I'm going to go into an off story. I saw this on TikTok the other day, and it was like, it's kind of like Judge Judy, but it was a different judge. And one girl who got her eyebrows microbladed was suing the professional because she came in with a picture and she's like, I want these eyebrows. And the professional said, that's not a good idea. It won't, it's too dark for you. But she still did it because the girl insisted and insisted, and now, and she hated them because it didn't suit her face. Anyways, she lost the, she lost. But the thing is, she,
wait, who lost? Which one?
The okay. client. She, the judge was like, no, because there was paperwork, first of all.
Oh,
everything was documented. So yeah, there was that.
No.
Exactly. She did. I mean, she did her part, but I think I would have, I was a little critical because I'm like, I would have just not done it. Like, I don't think that you should do something that you don't, can't stand by professionally.
It's hard for some people to say no, though.
It is, but especially
in our industry. Yeah. And I've had those conversations with people say, so you have to, but just tell them why.
Not right now. Maybe I do this with my kids. We'll see, but maybe find a professional way of saying we'll see, and like, oh, we can work towards that. But right now, this is my professional opinion. But I think that comes with a risk of losing that client, losing that income. A lot of that that might come to us as a fear, right? Like, oh, well, if I say no, I'm gonna go somewhere else, or they're not going to want to come back and see me. Mm-hmm. But again, like you said, explaining it. And at the end of the day, doing what you think in your conscience is the right thing to do.
I said it, like, I know I've said this to clients when I've had to say, I'm being direct here. I didn't say, no, we're not doing it like that. But I said, I know you're so disappointed. I apologize. I would love to do this treatment for you. Honestly, I would, but here's my concerns.
Yes.
And really explain to them why. It's like, you know, like you said, maybe it's a timing thing. Maybe it's like, you know, like I said before, it's happened where it's like, well, I really want to do this, but you're going to go on a vacation to the sun for 2 weeks and you're golfing for most of it, for example, right? Like, yeah, it's just the wrong time. Mm-hmm. But you know what we can do for you, so you can get the glow of your skin, and you and recommend something else? Because in the end, the goal is what's the point anyways? It's the point is the goal.
Exactly. Yeah.
Then go back to the goal of your client. And without using the word no, it's like, I have a different treatment for you. Mm-hmm. And it takes time to build the confidence to be able to pull that out of your hat really quick. I get that. But at the same time, I think they'll appreciate it more so from you as a professional, right?
I agree.
And there's some people, yeah, they're pushy. They're nobody really want, like, I was really happy to hear that she lost.
She did lose.
And because the professional did her due diligence, paperwork, pictures, all those things. And to have the audacity to turn around and sue them when you asked for that. This is unfortunately our world we're in right now.
Yeah.
So
please. And I think that was like states-based, so a little different. I don't know, like, our Canadian
TV too, right?
So it might be different, but I think in a scenario where that lady would have said no to the client, and then that client would have gone somewhere else and gotten what they want, then they would have been mad at somebody else. But I think, you know, taking back to chemical peels, like if you offer an alternative solution and they still go ahead somewhere else, any negative, like maybe it turns out for them, maybe it doesn't, but it's yours. You have to just do what you know is right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a good point. It's a good point. Other things to consider too, when you are working with mature skins, is that side of post treatments and how you're going to nourish the skin. All take advantage of what you've just done. So the skin is starting to absorb those nutrients. Mm-hmm. So think of, you know, your hyaluronic acids, your peptide, you know, niacinamide's gaining, you know, momentum, if you wish, because it helps to also, not only does it bring circulation out, but it also helps to improve the skin barrier too. So there's a lot of things to the other ingredients that are out there of the focus. And if you explain to your clients the why behind, why peptides, well, it's going to help support the elasticity of the skin and the collagen production. You know, vitamin C, it's going to fight the free radical damage, or, you know, like use your knowledge. You like everyone has been taught these things, but it's just so much information. But how do you spew it out to people? So you almost have a checklist even to get going, like saying, hey, mature skins, I really want to make sure we have a few of these ingredients, which your products do right now or don't have.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
The other thing too is, I'm having a coughing fit here.
Take your time.
Is how often you're going to do it, right? Mm-hmm. Recovery time. And the long haul of this, right? Like, do you think of, you know, can you do LEDs in this treatment? Can you offer things with them? And that's almost anybody, really, any kind of skin condition. But really the aftercare too is like, talk to them about those nourishing nutrients after, because it's not acne. It's not like other things that are going on here. We're really targeting about that mature skin and slowing down the aging, trying to help them with whatever stage they're at. But chemical peels are not just the one answer. And I think that's something we got to remind ourselves of if you want to be that.
With aging skin too, or sorry, mature skin, just taking into consideration if your client has Botox or filler, that is still, that's not a no. Like you can still do a chemical peel, but there has to be like a time in between. So if you're doing a treatment plan, like making sure you're informing them to plan it out. So when they're getting their next Botox, it's not around the same time that they're getting their next chemical peel and so on and so forth. Just giving them that information as well.
Well, yeah. And that comes with all of the skins, because 20-year-olds are doing this.
That's true. Yeah.
Right. So I think it's a good reminder to talk to them about it.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well,
I think we covered everything. I think this is the one where I think I've done the most in this age category, or this skin condition, I should say, when it comes to chemical peeling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think we covered it all.
I know you, everyone's probably like, but you didn't give direct answers. And that's the whole point of this. There isn't an exact answer to this. yes, you can do that.
But
of course, however, how to do it, how long do you leave it, which one do I pick? There isn't a direct answer, I don't feel. I think you really got to look at the skin, like we've talked about this before. What's in front of you? What do you see? What is their lifestyle? What are they, you know, as you said, stressors, or now with so many autoimmune health conditions out there, and, you know, what else is going on? Like somebody that can't have gluten has gluten, they get inflamed. Is that the trigger? There's so many things that could be the cause. So you really need to do your part as a professional and dig out as much information you can out of them, but tell them why. Mm-hmm. I think that's what we miss sometimes, is just explain to them why you're asking these things, because you want the best result for them in the end. You know, this is an investment that they're doing and they're trusting you to do it. So I think communicate a little bit better.
I think so. And I think it always comes back to your client's skin care goals and how do you help them reach that goal with as little complication and risk as possible. That could include chemical peeling, but chemical peel is never the default answer or the first thing that you would go to. It could be part of a treatment protocol that you would lay out long-term, but it's never, in my opinion, I'm going to say this, it's never the first thing you do. I'm just going to say, in my opinion, it's never the first thing that you should do because you should really get to know your client, get them in for a facial and then start them on their pre-peeling. And then you could do a chemical, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So I completely understand what you're getting at. It's not the first one you're going to, like when people call in and say, I would like to have a chemical peel. Okay. And you've never done a treatment on this person ever.
Yeah. That's scary. So,
that complications.
Some people do that. And this is like no judgment, but would I do that? No, I wouldn't do that. And I think you just have to our listeners, like, what do you want to do? And then doing it with the, you know, caring for your clients and their skin and not causing them any kind of damage. You don't want to end up on that judge show, whatever it is, not Judge Judy.
Yeah. And I think like you touched on that saying, maybe that is your business. That's what you do. You're specializing in chemical peels and you're confident in doing great. But I'm sure that you're not going out and just starting off with a 30 glycolic on them. You know, like I would trust the fact that if you're at that stage of this type of a business, you would have a lot of options. This is more directed to people in this industry who, you know, maybe they have a lot of different types of treatments that they offer. Chemical peels happen to be one of the facials that they offer, and they just call it advanced chemical peels. So that's kind of what we're gearing to. But if you're an establishment and your specialty is advanced peels, well, then you already have your protocols in place. I'm pretty sure that you're not just randomly doing someone off the street the first time ever and just banging out, like I said, a high peel, because you know you got to do the pre-treatments, you got to know the skin, the whole thing. But this is gearing to our fellow professionals out there who, you know, they do hydration facials, they do, I don't know, microneedling, they do advanced peels, they do acne facials. That's how they name their menu. So this is what this is kind of gearing to. It's like you have advanced peels and that's all you call it. It's your one treatment, advanced peels. So that's what we were kind of referring to. So, you know, if you are an establishment and you do chemical peels, that's your jam, that's your niche, that's what you do, then I'm pretty sure you're doing it right. You know, like, you know what you're doing. It's just these questions that have come up in this last little while for us is why we brought this series on, because this is directed to the technicians out there that are not doing regular chemical peels all the time and kind of forgetting what to do. So that's kind of what we kind of brought this out to.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we're always open for topic ideas and suggestions. So let us know what you want to hear next.
Thanks for listening to Beauty Babble.